Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, fresh off the love train, welcoming you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And it is the first Sunday of November. And that means shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And one of those helping more animals than anybody else I personally know. Well, now that there are a lot of people helping, but one of the best and helping so many animals would be our own Eileen Weintraub, who is the chief cook and bottle washer, founder, and all that good stuff for Help Animals India. And man, are there a lot of animals that need help over there. So, Eileen, welcome back to Animal World.
Hey, Martha, everyone. Thank you.
How are you doing down in your neck of the woods? Did you get a big storm and lots of rain and wind and stuff yesterday?
No, not too much. And I cleared up later that afternoon. And then I was able to get out in the garage and help our local volunteer get set up for his presentation. He works for Google on the east side. He's going to try and, you know, get some people interested. So, you know, just I've been doing this for so many years, so just to get more and more local support means a lot.
Yeah, so, like I said, you've been doing this for a long time. So how long ago was it when you started Help Animals India? How long has it
been? Well, it feels like lifetimes, probably.
Yeah.
But in the mid-90s, well, I've always been an animal rescuer my whole life, and I was also interested in Eastern religions since a young adult, Hindu and Buddhism. So, to make a long story shorter, I went to China and Tibet in the 80s.
Oh,
and,
wow.
To visit, we had a Tibetan Buddhist Lama, and he returned to Tibet. It was like visiting medieval times.
So
we went several times, and I tried to help the dogs there. They had community dogs. The Buddhist monasteries would tolerate the dogs because they believed they were the monks that were bad in their last lifetime and got reborn around the monastery. So so they would feed them, but the Chinese didn't like them, and, you know, they eat them, and... So anyhow, right. I tried to help the dogs there. I had one dog that I visited, 86, 88, and 90, a beautiful golden retriever. But the Tibetans didn't take these dogs into the house. They had the little dogs, like you've heard of Lhasa Apsas.
Right, yeah, or Lhasas.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the monks would even carry them around in their pockets. It was so cute. So anyhow, I tried to help the dogs. It was just too hard. I did to some extent. But in the mid-90s, everyone started getting online, you know, the very early days.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah, that was the time. That's when we started having computers and stuff.
Yeah, so I learned about the groups in India, and at least they spoke English. So I started, you know, fundraising as early as 1995. But I didn't take my first trip to India until 2003, and I remember asking my friends, and this is these are the friends that you're going to have on at 11:30, Animals 24/7, because they were fundraising for all these groups worldwide way before I did.
Wow. Okay. So Beth and Merritt Clifton are the ones behind Animals 24/7, and they'll be joining us for a regular segment now on the first Sundays of the month, and they'll be in the 11 to 11:30 slot. We chatted with them for the first time last month on the extra show, the extra Sunday we had. And man, I'm just so impressed. And I owe it all to you, Eileen, because you're the one that brought them to my attention. And I had no idea. They're local, and boy, they just cover all kinds of stuff. But apparently, you guys have known each other for a few decades now.
Well, before it was Animals 24/7, it was called Animal People News. And they would, using their 501c3, they would give grants to all these groups worldwide, not just India, you know, all over. Okay. So I would donate through them for India. And actually, I blame them for giving me the idea of doing the same thing. So,
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Well, but it's a big family. Now they're part of our animal world family.
Yeah, it's
and
isn't
it amazing how it all comes together? So I think we have three of some of the most prolific animal helpers on the planet are now part of our family. And speaking of that, though, the first part of our time together with Merritt and Beth, they let me know yesterday that apparently someone that you were also close to, a big shining light in the world of animal activism and helping animals, has passed away. And we are going to honor her and talk about that a little bit to start with the 11 o'clock hour. So
okay. All right. Yeah. It was very sad news.
Yeah.
But continuing my story, it wasn't until 2003 that I actually went to India.
Oh, okay. That was the first time. All right.
Yeah, and I remember asking Merritt and Kim, was the previous wife and partner. I remember asking them, well, if I find an animal needing help, what do I do? Because that was my habit always in this country. You know, when I travel, scoping out, you know, what are the rescue places, if you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize what a ridiculous question that was, because not only were there animals needing help all over the place, but most of the animal shelters they had, you know, were terrible, and you just leave the animal where they were, so they'd have a better chance. You know, going to the shelter, getting distemper, and so anyhow, that was 2003, and then I went back and I visited a number of places, and bringing checks from animal people, to give to the charities, and then at 2004, I went, and at the end of 2004, 2 weeks after I came back, they had what was the Indian tsunami. Now, people have forgotten about that. That was the tsunami that killed 500,000 people worldwide. And
When was that?
That was right after Christmas at the end of 2004.
Yeah, 'cause I remember that well. I remember just being absolutely shocked. And then when the videos started coming out of that, about that, it was mind-boggling,
because
that was
tell a personal story.
So
I had just been to those same areas where the tsunami came 2 weeks before, and I went out with my husband to an Indian restaurant, a South Indian. We get these great called masala dosas, and we went to visit. It was to eat. It was on the east side, and we're driving home. And I said to Mark, pull over the car. I don't feel well. I got out, and I was just doubled in pain, like I'd been kicked in the stomach.
Wow.
I said, I think I have to go to the emergency room. I don't know. But after a few minutes, it passed. So we went home, and I got home, and then it was Merritt who called me or contacted me. Did you hear what happened? So I think I felt...
You had a reaction energetically to what happened in India.
Definitely.
Wow.
So that was quite a story. So but anyhow, at the end of 2004, so all these human doctors wanted to go over and help in the places that were hit.
Yeah.
But they didn't know... And then some veterinarians wanted to come over also. So they didn't know where to go. So they contacted us. And so we got wonderful veterinarians to go and help out. But the problem was then they're starting to tell the people, the animal shelters in India, how to treat the puppies better so they don't die, you know, teaching them about quarantine. You know, you don't just, you know, you can't just throw in a new batch with the,
right.
You know, that might have diseases. So they started saving the lives of the puppies, but, you know, how do they get homes? So anyhow, that's how it all began. And in 2008, I started the nonprofit.
Wow. And so one of the things that I just love about Help Animals India is that you all know that there's a horrendous need for animals. And there's so many different kinds of animals because they aren't just dealing with dogs and cats. You know, there's monkeys and elephants and, you know, all kinds of other wildlife and animals that we aren't so familiar with in our country. And animals are you know, handled very differently there than here.
It's a beautiful place, and it's quite a different story. You know, you're not visiting a place where, like, if you, let's say you go to Hawaii and there's all the fancy hotels, and then there's a few scrappy kittens outside, and there everything's kind of... Huh? You know, it's the people living, you know, in shacks also. So the animals are just living along, you know.
Yeah, and that most don't have dogs and cats as pets living in the house, like is done here. I mean, you blow me away every time you say there's like 33 million street dogs. And then not to mention the cats behind them, but it's like they're everywhere. But not living in individual homes, but yet
yeah,
there are people that really
feel sorry for our dogs that are locked up all day. I mean, of course they love us, but you know, the community dogs, they run around with their friends. We don't really, you know, use the word packs. They're mostly gentle dogs. So,
yeah. And that's the wonder, though, about you and Help Animals India is that you're able to spread the wealth around, so to speak. You have become familiar enough and back and forth to India a lot since you went there the first time. And you know who's doing what and where. And instead of just having, you know, one little rescue or something that you support everything going on over there. And it's just wonderful to know that I can make my monthly donation and I don't have to worry about it because you make sure it gets to the causes that are important. And I really appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you so much, Martha, for being a monthly donor. The point is not to make the groups in India dependent upon us, but to help them get stronger so they can, you know, get some donations. There's certainly a vibrant middle class and wealthy people also in India, along with, you know, with all the poverty. So, you know, just give them a legs up and be, you know, a support. But so they can continue, you know, with or without us. But, you know, we sure make a big difference to them so they can do more, you know, rescue more and just be of service to their community and encourage others. So a lot of the things we do is also education at the schools. So giving the children an idea of how to help, how to interact with the street dogs, because if there is a situation where a child gets bit or something, you know, they still have rabies there, then, you know, everyone wants to kill all the dogs. so it's important to give them education and kindness. And, you know, there's many, many wonderful young activists growing up there. And so,
yeah,
you know,
and there's a need for that education. I know that, you know, as an animal, you know, as a behavior therapist and trainer, you know, I work with people privately in their homes to help them understand their dogs and solve problems and stuff. And of course, we have a lot of Indian families, you know, live here now, and many have integrated into the country and so forth. But I find kind of two groups, Eileen. And those, some that have grown up in India and then moved here later in life or whatever, but there some of them that are really comfortable with dogs because they've grown up with the street dogs or around them and all of that, and they're very comfortable with dogs. And then there's the other group that's scared to death of the dogs because they had some kind of bad experience with a street dog when they were young, and they've never gotten over that kind of fear. So it's been very interesting to be working with families from different cultures and having to understand where they come from in order to be able to help them.
Well, not only the dogs, but most people haven't had cats as pets. The only cats they know are the ones running around in the alley yowling and you know, menacing the wildlife, and they have never had a kitty sit on their lap. They've never heard a purr.
You're right.
So
amazing.
You know, that's, you know, another thing that you know, we have a big spay neuter projects, and so people can bring in their cats and you know, get them fixed.
Yeah, so finally it sounds like that's really taken off, and so hopefully starting to make a dent in you know, the wild dog and wild cat population. Because,
well,
you know, it has been relatively
really wild,
recently.
You know, you call them community dogs and cats.
Right.
All
right. We're gonna take a short break here and take care of advertisers. And then we're going to continue with Eileen and find out who needs what over there and what's going on right now with the animals in India and what we need to talk about. So, and how you all can help. So stay right where you are. Oh, and I got a story to share with Eileen. And anyway, stay right where you are. Animal World continues more with Help Animals India. Straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Marilyn Milano. If you love animals, then please check out my new show, Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays from 9 to 9:30 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. I'll be talking with rescue groups, animal advocates, and other organizations that help animals, sharing their stories and giving our listeners some tangible ways in which they can help make a difference. That's Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150, raising awareness, touching hearts, and saving animals' lives.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Be sure to support the sponsors of your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are on the downside of the second hour here of Animal World, but we're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful Dr. Nils Rasmussen. He is our neuroenergetic balancer and healer, and he and his sister Linda will be with us as usual for the second Sunday of the month. That's next Sunday, and together they take your call and help you or your animal friends with emotional, behavioral, or physical issues. And I got to tell you, if you have not connected with Dr. Nils and you're not on his email mailing list, you got to get on it, because his email, he sends an email out on Sunday mornings usually. And the one today is just incredible. Nathan, Dr. Nils, you know, he and his wife wore out Washington and decided to move and a new place to explore. So they moved to the middle of nowhere in Idaho. Well, apparently they are in the middle of nowhere in Idaho, and he must have some time on his hands, because man, as he improved this whole newsletter thing he sends out, it is cram packed with all kinds of new stuff. And you know, the way we start the show every Sunday with our prayers and affirmations. Well, those affirmations started with Nils and Linda on the show. Well, now he and his newsletter, he's starting an affirmation of the week now. But in his email from this morning, and was a great explanation about affirmations and how much they've helped and transformed his life, and great stories you can see before and after sequences, but all kinds of new stuff in the newsletter. And the way that you get that newsletter for free is go to Dr. Nils' website, which is healingministryforanimals.com, healingministryforanimals.com, and just sign up for the email newsletter. You can also, he always offers a free telephone evaluation. So if you're interested in finding out how he can help you or your animal friends, you can do that via his website as well. But healingministryforanimals.com, and be here next week, because they'll be on the air with us. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on. Come join our Animal World family of advertisers. If you're interested, shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty, then. We are in the middle of a conversation with Eileen Weintraub, founder of Help Animals India. And how fun, we got to hear a lot of that story today already, of how this all came about. And how our next guests are involved with that, too. And amazing small world here. And so, Eileen, what's going on currently that we need to talk about?
Well, we just had our yearly spay-neuter camp in a place called Sarnath. And this is there's about 8 places of significance to where the Buddha walked in India. And this is the place where he first gave his first teaching, or what's called turning the wheel of Dharma. So my friends, being Buddhist practitioners, were visiting this place, but they got tired of seeing all the run-over puppies every year. Uh-oh. Very sad. Uh-oh. So they asked us, and after years of effort, we got a grant from the Bridget Bardot Foundation. Does everyone remember who Bridget Bardot is? She's still alive.
I do. Nathan, yeah. Do you know who Bridget Bardot is? Okay.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I want to say Eileen Sexpot Atkris.
It doesn't ring a bell to Nathan?
No.
No, long before he wasn't even on the planet for Bridget Bardot,
I don't think. But come on. It's like, you know.
Yeah, well, Nathan, you better check it out.
And just like Doris Day, you know, Doris Day also became very much for animals, the Doris Day Foundation. Bridget Bardot is in France, and she has a foundation, and she's still alive. She doesn't actively run it, but her people do. And they give us a grant, and then we put in some also. So every year we do a spay-neuter project, about 300 dogs. And, you know, we do this year after year, and it makes such a difference. And they visited recently, and I had a wonderful visit. And I got photos. You know, most places, to catch the dogs for their spay-neuter, they use nets, which is a lot better than they used to use hook and lassos years ago. So we helped train them not to. But so they use nets. But this place, the dogs are so friendly because they've been so well, you know, so taken care of, even though they're just community dogs living outside. They were just able to be picked up. And it was so, we were seeing these photos. So cute, just, you know, picked up and taken, you know, for their operations and brought back in a few days and meet their friends. And so we just had that camp. But, you know, but actually year-round, you know, some we do 15 dogs a day at some,
wow,
at some of the other places.
Wow.
So lots of work for everyone. And the more donations we receive, the more we can do.
Yeah, because now, you know, the more of that you do, I mean, eventually it's got to really start making a dent in these community animal populations.
Yes, and then it also makes people care about animals and seas. There's some, you know, it's not that people don't care worldwide. They don't know how to care. They don't know something can be done. And, you know, when they see a difference being made, when they see a possibility of a different kind of situation for the community animals, and that there's some place to bring them if something happens to them, you know, that's the case with wildlife. We have our wildlife rehab is here, and in India, there's much more wildlife. You know, it is a subtropical country, so, you know, with so many animals that we don't have here. So, you know, when they see that, and we do support some wildlife rescue places, and, you know, it just inspires everyone to help. And, you know, they're proud to help. And, you know, the children in the schools, yeah, they learn how to do so also.
Well, something that just occurred to me that I haven't really thought about before, but I was thinking about all the community dogs and so many of them, and just kind of wondering, you know, what do those dogs do? Obviously, they're until they are spayed and neutered by, you know, one of your groups or one of these projects somewhere, they're intact males and females, so they have to be breeding, and obviously they're having puppies. But what does a pregnant community dog do? I mean, do they go off someplace and curl up and have a litter, and then all of a sudden they're running around the streets with a whole litter of puppies? I'm having trouble imagining how that works for them.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, maybe it's a community dog that lives outside a shop. And, you know, so it's sort of half a pet. So maybe the owner will make a little place for the mom. And I mean, animals.
But nonetheless, there's obviously such a great need. And the good news is that we as individuals don't have to figure out how to get the money to the right place to make sure this happens, because we have Eileen to do that. That's why I know I can just have my monthly donation happens. And I know that Eileen takes care of it and makes sure it goes to the right places where it's needed.
Yeah, you know how expensive it is to spay and neuter here now. So it's that's $20 per dog, and that's like the primo operation. That's not cutting any corners. You know, that's the really, you know, they're really well taken care of. And
didn't you tell us at some point, you know, that when you first got started working with veterinarians over there, that a lot of them didn't even know how to do spay and neuters.
Traditionally. The vets in India just learned about agriculture, so, you know, mostly about cows. They certainly didn't know wildlife. And until the groups that I'm affiliated with, one is called Worldwide Veterinary Services, they started training camps where these veterinarians could learn. Most of the vets now do know dog spay and neuter, but, you know, they had to improve the standards. They were doing a poor job. They weren't using what's called a gas anesthesia machine to, you know, make the operation go easier. And so they would do training camps. So all these decades, these last, you know, when I started helping, all these other international groups started helping too, as, you know, we all got online and got all affiliated. especially after the tsunami, everyone sort of got to know each other. So they've made a lot of progress in teaching dogs spay neuter, but cats were slower to come by, and that's slowly catching up.
Yeah, and it's wonderful that it is catching up, and you're making big, huge differences. And then, there aren't just dogs and cats, but so you support the elephant sanctuary. And so how are the elephants doing?
Well, we're proud to say that the sixth elephant has come, and her name is Lakshmi. And I think there's room for 8 elephants in total in this sanctuary. So, each elephant needs... These are elephants that are pretty had pretty tough lives, and they need a lot of care. So... one of the oldest elephants, she needs special treatments for her leg because she was a logging elephant, so she got damaged. And so they have to put in special oil and, give her massages. And also they had to get an x-ray machine so they can find out what's going on. So, everything is what we call, it has jumbo expenses. That for India, still only 1/10 of the cost of that it would be here, but we're committed to the elephants. But hey, I wanted to tell you about a holiday that's coming up in Nepal.
Okay, hold on just to that for just a second, because I just wanted to say, you talked about the tsunami. How that kind of got everybody together. I so remember that some tsunami, but the picture I have most strongly in my mind, Eileen, is seeing a film of an elephant carrying a child away from the tsunami. I don't know. It was a big deal back then, but I remember that, that the elephants helped get some people out of the tsunami area. So anyway, continue. And you said there's a holiday coming up?
Yeah, a lot of the groups we help are in Nepal. And there's a special holiday coming up where they honor dogs. And it's called, let me find my glasses. It's called Kukur Tithar. And they put... it's only one day a year, and they put marigold garlands around all the dogs and have, ceremonies to honor them in their lives.
Wow. But, so they make garlands to put on the street dogs? They wear their little marigolds?
And their own dogs. So it's a joyous celebration. And they also got the tilak. They put the tilak on them. It's a red mark that maybe you've seen on Hindu women, and they put the tilak on their forehead, saying, their sacred status and special meals. And it's a festival is a testament to the deep reverence and appreciation that Nepalis hold for dogs. However,
how wonderful.
However, it's just one day a year. So, our aim with our groups is to get to people to care for them every day. So,
right.
But at least, they have that in their mind, which, that's a huge thing, that the dogs are honored and not considered unclean, like in some other cultures.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And then with you guys backing up all these organizations and helping them get stronger and learn how to do more and be able to do more, I think it's making a big difference.
Thank you. Yeah. So we're trying to get our grants together for the year end. And so anything anyone wanted to contribute through our website, helpanimalsindia.org, and, or bless us with a monthly donation, no matter what, even, any amount, the cost of your latte each month. And
it's so worth it. You just feel good knowing you're helping.
Yeah.
I've got a prayer flag story for you. And you know, it's really important, folks, that you go to helpanimalsindia.org. And one of the best websites I've ever seen in terms of the information and how it's set up and all that you can learn. Eileen just does a phenomenal job with it. And of course, you can give a one-time donation, or you can set up like I have done for a monthly donation. And I've got this this week. It just was so funny a couple of days ago. And do you all know what Tibetan prayer flags are? Nathan, do you know what prayer flags are? Wow. He doesn't even know what prayer flags are,
well,
Eileen.
Let him imagine, like, you go to an auto dealer, and they have, like, if they're opening, and they have these, like, colorful flags outside, you know, to announce.
Because they're like, the prayer flags, they're like squared or rectangle fabric in bright colors, like red and blue and yellow and white. And I'm sure if you search, he's on the computer right now, you know, Tibetan prayer flags, you'll see. And they come in different sizes. And the lines of prayer flags are different lengths. And, you know, there are traditional Tibetan prayer flags. And then there's others that have happened, like they're all symbols, or they're all qualities. They're prayer flags for the animals and all of that. Anyway, I love prayer flags. And the idea of prayer flags, and Eileen, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea for prayer flags is that you get a line of prayer flags. And the idea is you take them outside and you hang them outside in the trees or on your house or somewhere. And the idea is that the wind comes by, and these flags are infused with, you know, the feelings of peace and love, you know, and all, you know, good feelings. And then so all the feelings and prayers from the prayer flags go out and permeate the air and the world and go around, you know, the area in the world. And so you put them out to send all this great prayer flag energy around.
Yeah, you can do that, or you can have them inside. I mean, traditionally, they are put outside, but basically
yeah,
they look
but you can
great
have them inside and outside.
You can put them on a Christmas tree, and I am getting more, so if anyone wanted to send...
Yeah, so that's where this starts, is that... Yeah. Now, so I've loved, I discovered and learned about prayer flags, I think, Eileen, in the 1980s. And that's when I got my first, you know, string of prayer flags. But I haven't had a lot of them and all of that. Well, then a few years ago, this was after Eileen started doing these segments on Animal World, there was some kind of a celebration at the Buddhist temple in Ballard. Isn't that where we were?
Greenwood.
There and so after the show, I went over, and of course they had, you know, booths and vendors and that sort of thing. And so I got some prayer flags, a few sets. And so I have prayer flags out around my yard. Well, then the wonderful thing is, and one of the reasons why, if you want to be a regular donator to Help Animals India, Eileen, you know, sends out, you know, thank yous. And I think at Christmas, the first time that you send little prayer flags as gifts to your donators. So yeah. I'm getting more prayer flags from Eileen. And anyway, so I have prayer flags like everywhere. Well, I got a set of kind of ceremonial prayer flags. It's like 10 and they're bigger. Each individual flag is maybe like 8 by 10 inches.
Yeah.
And so I have them in the back of in my backyard. This an open area, and then I have a terrace with a fountain and, you know, master statues. And then I have a little mini forest there. And so there's a place back there where I was able to string this whole line, which is probably 10 or 12 feet long, in between two trees on a fallen limb that had fallen between them. So it seemed like an area that I could put it that wasn't a wildlife path that they'd get knocked down. And so I put them out there. So when I look out back, I see these prayer flags. Well, a couple of days ago, I'm in my kitchen. I'm looking out my glass French doors, and it's very still. There's no wind at all. And then I look up and I look back, and this line of prayer flags is like waving like crazy. And they're waving and waving. And I'm thinking, wow, is there just a burst of wind going through there? Or what, you know, and I'm trying to figure out, why are these prayer flags waving? So I better go out there and see, because it can't be the wind. So I go out, and I'm in my bathrobe and slippers, okay, it's in the morning. And so I head back towards the terrace, and the flags are wagging and waving and waving and waving. There's no wind, and I can't see anything back there. So it actually looks like someone must be standing there and shaking the prayer flags. But I can't see anything. So I'm wondering what would be doing this. So I'm a little bit cautious, but I decide, okay, I got to get closer because I got to see. So I climb up on the terrace, and then I start climbing my way through the forest to get back. And then I can see now, and there's a little Douglas squirrel has grabbed the second prayer flag in the line. And he's all wrapped up in this prayer flag and jumping around. And it looks, and I think, oh no, somehow this squirrel has gotten caught in the prayer flag, and he must not be able to get loose. So he must be tangled up. So I better go help him. All right. So I'm crawling and climbing through the forest to get back. And I get close enough to see the squirrel is not tangled up in the prayer flags. The squirrel's got a hold of this prayer flag in his mouth, and he's trying to rip it off the line. And the feeling I got is that he's trying to take this prayer flag, take it home and line the nest with.
Oh.
Because he's sitting there jumping and pulling it and pulling it and pulling it and pulling it. And so by the time I got back there and realized he wasn't caught up, he left. He said, oops, you're here, and he left. But I've been thinking, gosh, maybe I need to give my squirrels some prayer flags to line their nests with.
Yeah.
Because it was the funniest thing.
Pieces of cloth or something.
Yeah, because he was just determined to bite off this prayer flag to take home to his nest. So anyway, that's my squirrels and prayer flag story. So you might want to put out prayer flags. Your squirrels will like them.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you for the prayer flags that you send, and I love them. And everybody, you need to get on board and go to helpanimalsindia.org, sign up for the newsletter. It is an incredible newsletter, and Eileen doesn't bombard you with tons of emails. It's very rare, and what she does send is really important. And then, of course, you can get prayer flags, too.
Okay.
So, Eileen, we've got to take care of advertisers, and we're getting close to the end of the hour, but sure has been fun chatting with you, and I so appreciate you for all the work that you do. And we'll start up the next hour with Animals 24/7 and Merritt and Beth Clifton and a tribute to the animal activists that we want to honor. So I hope you all can be with us for that. So, Eileen, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again in December.
Okay, take care. Thanks a lot, too.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All righty, we're going to take care of advertisers, so stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/1150KKNW.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down hour number two of Animal World. We've got one more hour to go, so we're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful Natasha Venter. She is our personal awareness coach, feng shui person, and basic psychic person. And if you would like to check her out, you can go to her website, angelicclarifications.com, angelicclarifications.com. She does a podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m., which you can access through her YouTube channel, which is Natasha Venter AC. And she's available for private readings. She goes to a lot of the psychic fairs these days, and you can meet her there. She also joins me the third Sunday of every month. So 2 weeks from today, she'll be on the air with us. So mark your calendars if you want to know, talk to your animals or human loved ones on this side or the other, or have questions. She'll be here in a couple of weeks. So check her out, angelicclarifications.com, or you can give Natasha a call at 360-770-7836. 360-770-2836. 2836. All righty. And Whispering Dragon Center is open in Shoreline. Jude's teaching Acutonics this weekend, but after this weekend, you can give her a call to set up a session for you to experience the wonderful sound healing, Acutonics forks, and gentle chiropractic, which is phenomenal. You can check her out at whispering-dragon.com or give her a call at 206-706-2836. All righty, before we run out of time, let's do a little current events. Okey-dokey. Now, not a whole lot going on current events, but the one thing that I can let you know is to mark your calendar for the Tuxes and Tails Annual Gala. This coming year, 2024, will be Saturday, May 18th, and looks like they're doing it in a new venue. It's going to be at the Fremont Studios. Now, I didn't know that studios in Fremont, and I'm thinking, you know, the Tuxes and Tails Gala now is huge. I mean, when I was a celebrity on the runway, you know, 20 years ago, it was huge. But I mean, it's really huge now. So I'm wondering what this Fremont studio must be that they'll be able to house it there. But I guess we'll get more details closer to the date. So other than that, I don't have anything new on current events, but I'll tell you, we heard from Marilyn at Meow. Pay attention because we'll get it up on current events as soon as we get it. But their annual holiday bazaar will happen in the first week, probably, of December. And then our Santa Paws pictures will happen every Saturday and Sunday up until starting right after the weekend after Thanksgiving and going up till Christmas. And the other thing you want to keep in mind, if you are going to want a live Christmas or holiday tree, we do have those, will be available at the Northwest Stream Center in South Everett. That's at McCollum Park. And every year they bring in a bunch of really wonderful little live holiday trees, you know, cedar and Sitka spruce. And I don't know, but they have four or five different varieties. And it's very cool because you can go pick up, you know, and buy a live tree from them and take it home for your holiday season. And then after the holidays, you can plant them in your yard. But if you don't want to do that, you can take them back to the Northwest Stream Center and then they plant them along salmon streams around the area to spiff up the habitat and environment. So just spread the word. If you know anyone that wants a live Christmas tree, they should be available probably right after Thanksgiving, I would think. So I will be letting you know as soon as I get the notification as to when they're going to be available. I will let you know. So that's about it for current events. And of course, next week is second Sunday of the month. So it's Healing Sunday on Animal World. And Dr. Nels Rasmussen and Linda Rasmussen will join us. And together, they'll take your calls and help you or your animal friends with emotional, behavioral, or physical issues. All right, Nathan, so you checked it out. That Fremont Studio is a convention space?
Yeah, it's like a big open building, lots of floor space and a stage and light fixtures and everything as far as audio and video goes. So
it sounds huge, like a huge venue, which is what they need. Obviously, they have to have checked it out and know it's going to work or they wouldn't be saying it's going to happen there. So I just didn't know there was that big a facility, a convention facility in Fremont.
So, about a warehouse size.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so that's where it's going to be next year. And what did I say? Saturday, May 18th, I think, for the Texas Entails next year. Alrighty then, we are gonna wind up hour number two and fire up the love train and get our exercise and movement in for the day. And you just need to know that dancing is required. Yeah, but you can dance in your head, you can dance in your bed, you can dance in your chair, you can dance anywhere, or get up and join the love train with us. We'll come by and pick you up. And let's focus on sending our love and all over the planet, but especially to the war zones, especially to Ukraine and Europe, and especially to the Middle East, Israel and Gaza, the Palestinians and the Israelis. And let's just send lots of love and envision peace. Everybody getting along and everybody having a place to live in peace and harmony. Alrighty then, I energize up the love train music with our yogi energization prayer. And here we go with that. O infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train. It's coming right up, and then we will welcome back for the second time on Animal World, part of our family now, Beth and Merritt Clifton from Animals 24-7. That will be next. So stay right where you are. Love train's coming up right here on Alternative Talk. Hey, love.